have been born again more times than I can remember. More times than anyone ought to, anyhow. Altar calls, raise your hand if you want Jesus in your heart moments, first time commitment prayers, then recommitment prayers. I've been slain in the spirit, and I was even born again at a Billy Graham crusade. Nothing ever seemed to stick. I am born again lazy. I cannot let go. Or it seems that I'm only able to let go for a brief moment. Then as soon as I sit back down, I grab back onto this stuff. Onto these things I hold in my hands. Every time I was born again, I really did want Jesus badly. I've come to find that it is very difficult to grab onto something when your hands are already full. My full hands are starving Jesus. I call the stuff in my left hand dirty, the stuff in my right, pretty. Dirty is basically my impure life. The abuse, the girls, the sex, the lust, the porn, all of it. Pretty is my successful life as an actor. My pride, my passion, my drive, my ambition. These two little handfuls have defined who I am. And as hard as I'm holding on to them, they are holding on to me, not letting me go. But there is this voice. A voice that calls me to let go. To let go and get out of the pew. To go and do something. It's 4 a.m., and I can't remember the last time it was that I slept. I keep pacing my apartment. My heart beats out of my chest, and I can't calm myself down. This has been going on for weeks now. That voice, it's getting louder. Let go, it says. Let it all go. How, though? I'm not sure I can. If I let go of who I am, then who am I? Stop making sense. You weakest. Then it comes. Like a quiet cloud, it comes. It doesn't tell me that everything is going to be okay. It doesn't quiet my heart. No instant peace, no tears, no soft music. In complete silence, it comes. Let go, the voice says. Let it all go. Follow me. His own time.
Are you starving Jesus today? Let's pray. Lord, as we open your word, as we lay it all at the cross, we pray for your presence. May your spirit be felt, and if one of us today is hurting, may you, the creator of the universe and the creator of us, heal us. If one of us is longing, may today they be found. If we are struggling, may you calm the waters and the seas and the storms that are before us. But Lord, most of all, may you reign in our hearts today and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My sermon title today is Clutter. And the reason I call it clutter is, just like that guy, I think a lot of people are holding on to things that keeps their relationship with Jesus Christ at bay. It said he would born again 10 times, didn't it? But the whole time he was holding on to things of this earth, the dirt and whatever comes with it. I read this story this week about this girl, which gave me the idea. This superintendent was going around to all the schools in the area, and this is in Chicago. And one of the schools he visited, every classroom was trashed. Trash all over the floors, the desks were untidy, and it was just very discouraging. And he was thinking to himself, there's no way people can learn with all this clutter. So he went to each classroom in the school, and he says, I'll give you $100 if your desk is clean the next time I come back. In a lot of ways, this is just like a Christian. We know the Word of God. We know that he has saved us. And when we first hear it and the fire is deep inside of us, we start cleaning things up. So all the kids in this school started cleaning things up. But for what purpose? For $100. $100 is a lot to a young person, isn't it? So as time went on, other kids, this one little girl, Sarah, kept her desk nice and tidy. All the other kids said, you know, it's been already 45 days. He's not coming back. And so their desk started to look rough again, just like we do as Christians. You know, after a while, the fire burns down. The colds are starting to get a little colder, and we go right back into our everyday life. But Sarah kept faithful because she needed that $100. But what Sarah noticed is as she kept her desk clean, she started recognizing all the trash around her. This is an 8-year-old girl. She started noticing all the mess and the trash around her. And her home was untidy as well. So she decided to start taking care of her bedroom and then going out into the living room, into the kitchen, because her mother was pretty much a drug addict, wasn't much of a mother. She pretty much was taking care of herself. And then she got the courage one day to go before the principal and say, look, that man offered us $100, but shouldn't you be telling people to keep their rooms tidy? 8-year-old girl. 8-year-old girl telling the principal, isn't it your job to make sure this school is clean and well taken care of? Well, the principal didn't really do anything about it. He thought that's just the way it is in Chicago. You know, it was the area, it was the environment. It was kind of became their culture. Well, Sarah kept that room clean. She kept her house clean. And she even started cleaning up her mom. Just taking out the clutter from her desk, started branching out to others. The superintendent did come back. And when he came back, he came to that classroom and he found her class utterly a mess except for Sarah's desk. He gave her that $100. But what he didn't know that Sarah had done, she had cleaned up her home. She had cleaned up her mom. And actually, she was responsible for the principal being replaced to someone else who had the same thought process as her, that we need to start branching out to keep this area clean. Little girl, 8 years old, changed not only her school system, it did come from the superintendent, but this 8-year-old girl changed the whole school. When I read that story, I said, what if we as Christians, started cleaning up our little areas? Get rid of all the clutter that holds us back. What could our superintendent, Jesus Christ, do through us? If you do have your Bibles, I'm in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. Did you hear that? Even the branches that give fruit, he does what? He prunes them so they'll be more fruitful. What did that girl do after she cleaned her desk? She became more fruitful because she realized that it can go further than this. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Who is the vine? That's the question. Who is the vine of your life? Is it Jesus Christ, or is it this world? See, I don't even know if Sarah is a believer in Jesus Christ. But it's amazing what she did just by cleaning one little area and how much it moved. How much more can a Christian do if we would just follow that little bit of advice? I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I'm in you, then we will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is the Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So as I was preparing for the sermon and after I read that story, I said, well, this week's easy. I'm going to talk about clutter. And so then I just did a little Google search on clutter. And I don't even know how this story really came into that Google search. But I read about this missionary over in Africa. Now, he'd been over there 10 years preaching the Word of God. Each year he has one baptism. So to him, that's positive. 10 years, 10 baptisms. And I guess here in the United States, a baptism every year for a church might be good nowadays, because I don't know if you know, but more people are leaving the church in the North America than they are coming into the church. That's not good news. But he thought the way he needed to convert everyone was by getting the message to them. This other missionary comes over, comes to the same village, and he's a little bit turned off by this because I've been here 10 years. What are you doing coming in my neighborhood? So anyway, this guy is in his house. He's getting things together. He's got power, which in this area there's not much power, and it only comes on certain times of day, but he's got power in his house. And he's got this light hanging down from his ceiling, and the whatever group of people this is over there are walking by his house, and they see he's got a light in his house. So they come in, and he's new to the area, and they come in to see him, and they're looking at that light, and one of the guys asks, "Can I have one of those light bulbs?" And he gives him the light bulb, and the guy goes about his way, and that missionary starts, he's got everything organized in his house. Now he's going to go through the neighborhood and start meeting the people he's about to share the love of Christ with. And he finds that man that he had given the light bulb to. That man had taken a string, tied it to the light bulb, and hung it from the ceiling, thinking it would work. Because that's what he saw in the other guy's house. It looked like it was hanging from a string. So he thought if he hung it in his house, it would light. And the guy told him, "It doesn't work." So what do you think that missionary did? You think he opened up his Bible and started telling him about Jesus? No. He started telling him how electricity brought power to that light. But he didn't stop there. Then he went out and tried to get some other people to get the funds to where he could bring electricity to more of the people in the area. He put electricity in their homes. It wasn't a lot. Like I said, it only comes on like between 2 and 4 in the afternoon. But he got electricity to their house. And these people loved him for that. There 1 year. Other man there 10 years. The other man had 10 baptisms. How many baptisms do you think this man had in 1 year? 1 year. He was over 1,000. Over 1,000. Because the one thing he did is he made sure he had no clutter and he saw the needs of the people. He met their needs and then he shared Jesus Christ with them. Guess what happened? They were touched by that. The same way Sarah touched people in that school. That's why I'm asking you to get rid of all the clutter in your life. Because Jesus Christ wants you to be able to do that with others. But too many times we think we see somebody drinking. Well, I got to go tell them drinking is not good for them. Or I see them doing this and I don't think that's good for them. I'm going to tell you the very first thing you got to do is be a friend. Show love, show compassion. Jesus will do the rest. Because listen to the rest of the story. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. I'm sorry, verse 9. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that you may know the joy, and that my joy may become your joy, and your joy may become complete. My command is this: go and preach to all the people and convert them in my name. What does it say? What does it say? Maybe that missionary should have read this verse right here. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no more than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you a servant because a servant does not know the master's business. Instead, I have called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Did you choose God? The Bible says he chose you. And what did he choose you for? To bear fruit. To bear fruit. I don't know how many people we got in here today, But if each one of us, by the end of next year, brings one person, what happens to this group? We double. If each one of us bring one person this year to Christ. And it's not the number we're looking for. What are we looking for? That's right, the love of Christ. In there, we bring them because we want them to love Jesus Christ. We want them to know the same love that we have. Now, if the Bible says you were chosen, but yet he asked you to go find them, does that contradict itself? See, I think it's even more important that you know that you're chosen to go for him. See, a lot of people are scared. But because you're here today, and if you believe in this Bible, and I ask you to believe in Jesus Christ, you are chosen to bring someone to Jesus Christ. And sometimes we can't do it with all the clutter in our life, all the dirt that we hold on to. You know, I got to do this, I got to do that. Just show the love of Christ to those around you. And I'm going to tell you what, Jesus does the rest. Does he not? I don't know everybody's story in here, but I would be very surprised if everybody's story was, I was converted to Jesus Christ just by learning the word of Jesus. I would be pretty surprised if everyone in here, that was the only reason they were converted to Jesus Christ. Because I'll tell you, there's over 800 churches in the United States. And as I was learning or studying for this lesson, I learned one thing that really worried me. There's churches out there where the preacher says, if every day of your life is good, then you're not living in Christ. And I was like, where does he get that out of the Bible? Right here it tells me, if you abide in me and he abides in the Father, then he's there to give me joy. But there's ministers out there saying, if you're not like beaten up every day, Christ is not in you. And I was like, come on. Why are you telling these people that? All I want to tell you is clean up the clutter of this world. Don't go on anybody else's understanding, but go on your own. And you see that young man where he said over and over, he says he was converted to Christ? I pray that once you're converted, not only do you stay with Christ, but each and every day you start drawing someone else closer to him. Because that's what our mission is all about. That is totally what our mission is all about. I know it's still early, but I'm going to ask our praise team to come back in if they can hear me out there. But again, get rid of all the clutter in your life. It says we are branches. We're branches, and it says, while every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it would be even more fruitful. And what I'm asking you today is, see in your life what you're doing good, prune those areas, and do more good. Be more fruitful. And then there's those areas in your life where it's clutter. Prune those as well. Let them fall to the ground. Let those be thrown into the fire because they're not doing any good. They do not need to be with you. Let God and God alone be your first and only friend when it comes to sharing the love of Christ with others.
Let's stand and continue to worship. Sometimes I fail, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still Still I'm caught in your grace everlasting. Your light so shine when all else fades, ever ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Sing your will. You will above all else. My purpose remains the art of losing myself in bringing you praise everlasting. Your lights will shine when all else fades, ever ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. Heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all screens ever ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring your praise from the inside out. Oh, my soul cries out everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, ever ending. Goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring your praise from the inside out. Oh, my soul cries out, Lord, we worship you. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting. Your light will shine when fades, ever ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring your praise from the inside out. Oh, my soul is out everlasting. Your lights will shine when all else fades, ever ending. Goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring your praise from the inside out. Oh, my soul cries out from the inside out. Oh, my soul cries out.
Just one final note. That story with Sarah was 23 years ago. Guess what Sarah's job is today? She's a superintendent of schools. And guess what? Her 8 schools that she oversees had the cleanest bill of health in all of Chicago. Started from a girl 8 years old. And look what she's doing today. I'm telling you. And like I told you, I don't know if she's a follower of Jesus Christ or not. But it's amazing what she's done in the last 23 years of her life. Think what you can do for Jesus Christ. If you just bring one at a time, what you can do. But the only way you can do that is to let go of the clutter of this world. Understand that your number one goal is to love someone as you love yourself. Because Jesus says, isn't it the greatest commandment to love your friend and your neighbor? So let go of that clutter of this world and take on Jesus. And then ask Jesus just one thing. Lord, be the light of my life, and may I be a light for you to bring someone else closer to Jesus. The Bible says you were chosen for that purpose. You were chosen for that purpose, to show light to someone else, even if it's hanging on a string, it's still in light. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this Sabbath. We thank you for who you are and what you are about. And Lord, we pray that we are vines, and we pray that you will prune us so that we will bring fruit to your house. I pray that you will be with each and every one of us. May we let go of the clutter of this world, and may we draw Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, closer to us so that we can shine from the inside out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go with God's blessings until next Sabbath. Have a happy Sabbath.